One of the things Jay Inslee loves to preen about, boast about, talk about, is his commitment to the environment. Specifically, what he is doing to get Americans out of their internal combustion automobiles and into clean, green e-cars. Now, of course, e-vehicles are not as clean and green as advertised, but put that aside. The federal government and the state of Washington have been underwriting the purchase of e-cars now for the last several years. And Todd Myers is here to tell us what we've got for what's been spent, what we've got in terms of air quality, in terms of carbon footprint, and whether the program should be expanded or not. He joins us here on the John Carlson Show this morning. Todd Myers, good morning. How are you, sir?
I am great. Good morning. And yeah, this was a program last year, $45 million to help what they said would be middle-income people buy electric vehicles and reduce CO2 emissions. And so we pulled all of the data from state registration records to see what actually happened. And it will not surprise you that the program fell far short of what was promised, and it turns out to be incredibly wasteful.
Just how wasteful, and before we get there, how does the program work?
So the program offered subsidies, what they call an instant rebate, of about $5,000 for the purchase of a new electric vehicle and up to $9,000 for the lease of an electric vehicle, and then $2,500 for the purchase of a used EV or partial, what's called the plug-in hybrid. And so they had $45 million set aside, and one of the rules was is that you couldn't make more than a certain amount of money, because they said, well, we want to get people who wouldn't otherwise purchase electric vehicles to do this, because past programs basically subsidized the rich, which we pointed out repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So the program ran from August through September, and then the money ran out in mid-October. Not surprisingly, when you hand out free money, people snatch it up. And so this was hailed as the victory, right? Oh, look, all the money's gone. But, you know, spending the money is not the difficult part, actually getting the results. So one of the things that they said was is that it would add about 8,700 electric vehicles. We looked at the data and found that actually there were only about 4,800, so just over half of what was promised.
Well, did they put a limit on how much you could spend for the EV in question? I mean, there are some EVs that are in the 30s, but, you know, there's also Cybertrucks for over 100 grand.
Yes. So they did have a list, a specific list of the types of vehicles that you could buy. So you could not buy a Cybertruck, but you could buy some other fairly expensive electric vehicles. And what we found was is that the average price of the electric vehicles that were purchased was almost $50,000. So these are not cheap vehicles.
No.
And then so we found that
these are not middle-class vehicles.
Right. So they didn't sell as many as they expected. They sold just over about half of what they expected. And when you take those numbers and you plug them into the EPA has a calculator that the state used, that the reduction in CO2 emissions amounted to 0.03% of statewide transportation emissions for a year. 0.03% for just 1 year, and we spent $45 million.
Wait a minute, that's not 0.3%. That's 0.03% of 1%.
Correct. That is correct. And so, you know, often what I do is simply, you know, calculate. Okay, how much does it cost to reduce CO2? Because, you know, what people say is, oh my God, climate change is a crisis. We have to do everything. We have to do all this stuff. It's like, okay, but is what you're doing effective? And the way to determine that is to say, okay, how much money do you have to spend to reduce emissions? And this program is so expensive that sort of the analogy we came up with is that it's like spending $2,072 for a latte. It's just
yes.
incredibly a wasteful program. And this is what doesn't, so often people talk about, you know, environmentalism being a religion. I think that that's not quite right, but it certainly is an identity. People want to believe that they are righteous and doing good things for the planet. But what that means is that they become tied to the programs and not results. And so if you think climate change is a crisis, you would never allow that amount of money to be wasted for basically no environmental benefit. You would demand that we were doing things that were effective.
Sure.
But instead, what you see is that instead of saying, you're right, this program doesn't work, we need to put our money where it's effective, Governor Inslee in his budget actually proposed expanding this program from $45 million to $62 million. Now, Governor Ferguson has not released his budget. The legislature has not released their budget. But it just shows you how Governor Inslee was completely uninterested in whether his policies yes. actually worked to help reduce CO2 emissions.
Well, he never has been interested in value, i.e. return on the investment. He just wants to spend the money. That's yeah. how he judges accomplishment, and that's how he judges achievement. Hey, look, I got this money for this program. Hey, look, I launched this particular program or this particular tax. And it's only judged not by the indicators of success and failure. In fact, usually they try and keep indicators of success and failure out of the equation. It's just in how much money did we spend? Well, that shows how serious we are about the problem. Now, let me go over a couple of things real quickly here. You have pointed out persuasively that they sold far fewer cars than they thought they would. They reduced, frankly, next to no CO2. The CO2 reductions are basically little more than dust. 0.03. That's 0.03%. Let me ask the finale here. only middle-class people were supposed to be taking advantage of this program. Is yeah. that the case?
So we don't have, you know, the names and the right. incomes of the people who actually purchased it. But what we can do is look at where the cars were purchased and look at the tax records. And prior to the rebates being available, the average income of the zip codes where EVs were purchased was $122,000. That was the average income per household. During the rebate, it was $118,000. So it went down slightly, but still not very much.
I don't think that's what they mean when, oh, these rich people getting over 120 grand. We need to lower that to, oh, say 118.
There's another funny thing that happened, which is that for some vehicles, the price, the average sale price actually increased when the rebates were available. So, you know, for like a Nissan Leaf, the average price of a Nissan Leaf increased by $3,000 when the rebates were available, which means one of two likely scenarios. One, people said, well, you know, since I have this rebate, I'm going to get the, you know, nicer stereo or the heated steering wheel or sure. things like that. So they used it for luxury. Or dealers simply said, look, because of the rebates, we have a lot of demand. We don't have to negotiate. This is the price, take it or leave it. And so then they put it in their pocket. And again, neither of those things helps the planet. It just takes money, you know, and makes somebody buy a little bit more, you know, a nicer car. And one other reason that they didn't sell so many vehicles is because people who were going to buy electric vehicles anyway simply said, well, I was going to buy it in November, but now, you know, I'll buy it in September because I get free money. Again, that's not a new car. That doesn't help the planet. It just helps somebody who is going to do that anyway.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, this would be called corporate welfare if it wasn't being pushed by liberals for ostensibly liberal progressive purposes. you know, this is giving subsidies to people who don't need it and benefiting companies that don't require it for a purpose that is not even met by the program. Go ahead. Last word.
Yeah, and we see that all the time. There's a bill before the legislature on the low carbon fuel standard where they want to tighten the requirements for the low carbon fuel standard, not because it's not reducing CO2 emissions the way they want, but because it's doing it too cheaply. And companies like BP are saying, hey, we're not making enough money. So the legislature is now tightening it to make it more expensive for drivers so that BP and other companies can profit more. The restrictions do nothing to help the environment. They're not adding environmental benefit. They're just adding cost and profit to political allies.
Right. It's redistributing wealth from working class people to large corporations that put massive donations into keeping the climate commitment carbon tax on gasoline.
That's exactly right. And not just keeping it, making it more strict and more expensive.
There we go.
So, I mean, a lot of what you see in Washington's climate policy has simply become a way to increase taxes and then hand it out to political special interests. And the result is that we keep missing our climate targets, even as people say, oh, my God, we have to do something about climate change. It just, I think, is really exposes sort of how off track we are. And I think the last thing is that it shows why markets are better at helping the environment. People, free markets demand results. Politicians don't.
Yes. I can't wait to see the Seattle Times Climate Lab jump all over the story. I might be waiting for a while.
You might.
I might be waiting for a while. Todd Myers, though, it does get to it. And you're all beneficiaries of that. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Todd. Check out this study. It's good. It's short. It's to the point, and it's irrefutable. It's really great stuff at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Todd Myers, Vice President of Research for WPC. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.